Good evening, everyone. I'm very excited to share with you tonight. If you asked me, say, I don't know how many years ago, would you ever share on tongues, I would have laughed. But tonight I'm going to share on Holy Spirit. I'm going to share on praying in tongues. And you don't need to be scared. You need to run away. I'll take you on a journey. And I'll share my personal journey with you. And I think that's important because that's why I can share it, because it's a journey that I've been on. So we're in the Holy Spirit series, so we're continuing with that, and tonight we're just gonna look at tongues specifically. But before we get into that, we've taught that the Holy Spirit is really a gift from the Father, and that's very important. That's where we need to start. That's the foundation. So there's a reason that we've built this foundation. It is a gift from the Father. Now it's also important to realize that God is not just a Father; He is a loving Father. He is a good father, because we don't all have maybe a good example of a father. So we just hear God as a father, and then you're like, I don't want anything to do with him. No, God is a good father. God is a loving father. God's father heart is for you. Okay, he wants to be a father. Who knows that God can choose what he wants to be? He's God of the universe. He's God Almighty. But he wanted to be a father to you. And he wanted to be a father because a father has children, and he wants you to be his child. So that's the heart of the Father. That's the loving heart. He wants to take care of you. He wants to make sure that you're okay, that you're provided for, that you're safe. He wants to grab you in his arms and love upon you. He wants to look you in the eyes and kiss you on the cheek, like uncontrollably, never stopping. He wants to show public affection. Now, guys, I know we're not all for public affection, because public affection shows that you belong. It shows that you're taken. God wants to show public affection to you. And that public affection comes in the form of the Holy Spirit. It comes in the form of the Holy Spirit loving upon you. You becoming aware of His presence. You becoming aware of God's goodness through Holy Spirit. Yes, God is inside of us, but Holy Spirit, when we receive that baptism, it is like a kiss from the Father. Just showing, this is my Son. This is the power. This is what I want to give Him. Who would think God would be a good Father if He didn't give you everything you needed to overcome in this life? That would not be a good father. If your father forgot to teach you certain things or to give you certain instructions and then send you out there in the world to go and be a disciple, make disciples, be a witness, but he didn't give you the power and the authority to be that, the power to stir you up, the energy and that power. It's literally the word dunamis, dynamite power of God, God's ability inside of you. That is Holy Spirit power. And that's what he's given you, because he is a good father. I want to start off with the story of the prodigal son. But I want to call it tonight the prodigal father. The word prodigal means reckless, extravagant, and uncontrolled. Now, when we think about the story in Luke 15, we can see that the son was maybe reckless, that he was uncontrolled, and that he was extravagant in his spending of his father's money. But I want to invite you tonight to see the father as reckless in his love, extravagant in the showing of that love, and uncontrolled in the way that he treats his son as soon as he comes back. It's the story of the prodigal father. It's not so much a story of the son. Because as soon as the son turned around and faced the father ran towards him. Luke 15 from verse 20 says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Now there's so much in that story. If you look at the cultural relevance, for that father to run with the clothing that he was wearing, he had to pick up his robe. Okay, you cannot run with a dress. Guys, we cannot run with dresses, okay? Ladies, you know about that. For a father in those days to expose his legs was unheard of. It was a shameful act. It was a reckless act. It was an extravagant act of love. He was uncontrolled in the way that as soon as he saw his son, he ran towards him. He had compassion on him, not condemnation. The word there is compassion. He ran, he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. Now, personal experience, when I go and I come from a nice soccer match or I played squash and I'm like a fool and sweaty and dirty, my wife doesn't run to me and she doesn't fall on my neck. And she doesn't kiss me uncontrollably. And guess what? I don't blame her for it. But this son comes out of the pigsty, traveling for days, and the father runs towards him. He falls on his neck. Now, this is quite a sweaty section of the human body, he falls on his neck and he starts to kiss him. He doesn't say, first go take a shower, and then as he comes out of the shower with his nice white robe and his spa slippers, white and shiny, and then he says, okay, now I can give you a little pecker on the cheek. No, he doesn't do that. He runs towards him in that state, in that stench, in that filth, and he starts kissing him. He runs towards him because that day and age, the people knew what happened. This was a scandal in the town. They knew what happened. They knew that this son is now cursed because he wanted his father dead. And they were like, as soon as this son comes back, we're going to kill him. We're going to stone him. And that's the law. The law says that if you don't show respect to your father, you must be killed. This father runs and he shows, this is my son. I accept him. No one else touches him. No one else lifts a finger. No one else takes him away from me. He runs and he kisses him. The Amplified Bible says, and he ran and embraced him and kissed him fervently. Again, it wasn't just a little pecker on the cheek. It's like a dad picking up his little boy and just starts kissing him, kissing him, kissing him. And as this boy starts laughing, the dad just keeps on kissing him, just loving upon him. Now, I'm sure you will agree with me that the writer of Luke was Luke. Okay, hence the name of the book. The writer of Acts is also Luke. Okay, so Luke wrote Luke, and then he continued, and he wrote the book of Acts. Now, in the book of Acts, it's very interesting. He uses that same word, the word for fell on his neck, and he writes it in a different section. And in Acts 10:44, it says, while Peter yet spake these words, I always like to quote that and just pause there because you guys need to watch out. My name is Peter, by the way. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. The word fell there is epipito in the Greek, which means to embrace with affection, to seize, to take possession of, to show that this is mine, to fall into or upon, or to press upon. So the same writer, using the same word, once he says, this is how the father accepted the son back, the prodigal father accepted the son. And the second time he uses that word, he says, this is how the Holy Spirit embraces you. I think that's beautiful. That's a loving father. You see, Holy Spirit is not a scary ghost. It's not something weird out there. It is the love embrace of the Father right here, right now. What you felt during worship tonight was the Holy Spirit embracing you on behalf of the Father, kissing you. And only if you allow him. If you don't allow him, he's not going to force himself upon you. If you turn to him, the prodigal son was out there. The father didn't force himself on him. But as soon as he turned around and said, I want to be a servant, not a son, he said, no, 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 you don't understand. In this house, you're a son. In this house, you belong. In this house, you are my son. In this house, I kiss you, no matter what. Because I want to show you how much I love you. I want to show you. I want you to feel it. I want the world out there to know that you're my favorite. And guess what? That's what the work of the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit is to fall upon you, epipito, to embrace with affection, to seize, to take possession, to fall in, to press upon. Holy Spirit is the loving embrace and kiss of the Father. Not one kiss, continuous kissing. Holy Spirit is a gift. Acts 2:38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and then you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It's a gift. Gifts are good things. Who like to receive gifts? I like to receive gifts. Okay. But sometimes you receive a gift and you forget about the gift, or you don't open the gift, and then the gift is there in the corner and you can't use it. You've already received that gift. So the first thing is you need to receive the gift. Then you need to open and explore this gift, and then you need to start using this gift. Now, often we don't know how things work because we open the boxes, and us men, we're guilty of this. We open the box and we fiddle and we plug in everything we can, and we never read the manual. We never read the manual, so we don't know exactly how this works. So we try and figure things out, and we try and get the most out of something. I've never read the manual for this cell phone. I think I know what I can do with this, but there's obviously a lot that I'm missing out on. We have a manual for our gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and this is the manual. God didn't just give you a gift. He says, I want to give you a manual because I want you to know how this works. I want you to get the most out of it. I want you to enjoy it. I want you to work with power in the miraculous. Because I don't just want it for you, but I want you to overflow into the person next to you. I want you to know that the Spirit is not just for you, but there's an overflowing that happens and we impact the world around us. We change the world around us and we love the world around us with the loving Father's love. So the gift is for every child of God. Remember, God is a good father. So he would have been a bad father if he only gave some kids, some of his children, gifts. If he only kissed some of his children. Just think, there's three kids here, and I'm their dad, and now I kiss the first one, and I love and embrace him, and he starts laughing and enjoying it, and I put him down and say, okay, go play now. And now the second one comes, and I do the same, and now the third one comes, and I turn my back, and I walk away. That's evil. My God is not evil. My God wants to give gifts to every one of his children. He wants to give kisses of love. He wants to embrace every one of his children because he's a good father. It's not just for some. So, one of the confirmations of being baptized in the Holy Spirit is praying in tongues. So, sometimes people will come up to me and say, listen, can you pray for me, please? I want to get baptized in the Spirit. And then first thing is, are you saved? Because it's only for the children of God, the gift. So, you need to become a child of God, and then you can receive the gift. And if they say yes, and I say, are you praying in the Spirit? And if they say yes, then I'm like, I can't pray for you again. You're already baptized, because that's a sign. So sometimes, maybe you might be baptized in the Spirit without praying in tongues yet, and that's also fine. I was like that, and I'll share my story with you now. So the best way to share about this is my own testimony. By the time I turned 20, I have attended three different denominational Afrikaans churches. Okay, so that's my background. I got born again outside of the church, after which a friend invited me to a charismatic church just outside Pretoria. Now, with this came a warning. He said, we're going to this church, you must come with, but you're probably not going to come back for a month. Now, how does that sound? Invite someone to church, but put a disclosure with it. Guess what? I went, and I didn't go back for a month and a half, I think. So his warning turned into a prophecy. And the reason for that was the way that they used tongues in a service. And I was unhappy. I wasn't sure about this. I was like, it wasn't in love. And I didn't realize it, but I didn't know what was stirring in me because I didn't have enough knowledge, and where people perish for a lack of knowledge. So I stayed away from church because something wasn't operated. I wasn't comfortable with the way they operated in it. And we'll look at it a bit later. What happened is that church never read or never used the manual. So I was justified in the fact that I wasn't comfortable, but I didn't know it. Now if I go read 1 Corinthians 14, I know why I was unhappy, uncomfortable. But I still went back because I experienced something there that I've never experienced before. I experienced something, I saw something that I couldn't explain, something that I saw in the Bible, never learned about. But praying in tongues became a real tussle in my heart. It became something I struggled with, chewed on, like, God, I don't know. I don't even know if this is of you. I see it in the scriptures. I can read it. I see it there. I'd never been taught about it. I got baptized in that church in the Holy Spirit, which was not a miracle. It is a miracle, but that happened. But I never prayed in the Spirit. I never prayed in tongues. So one night alone in my bed, I'm like having this discussion with God. I'm like, God, is this from you? What is this? I'm not comfortable with it. I'm not comfortable with the way that it's been dealt with. But I see it in Scripture, so I can't explain it away. And I'm praying, and I'm just sitting there alone, chatting with God. And I get peripheral hearing. Ever heard of that? Peripheral vision is when you see something without looking at it. Peripheral hearing is like you hear something. I just made it up, by the way. Peripheral hearing is when you hear something like you're not supposed to hear it. And I'm standing there, and I'm praying, and I'm hearing something. And what I'm hearing is not Afrikaans. At that time, I prayed Afrikaans. Still today, it's a bit more English. And I'm hearing myself pray, but I don't know the language in which I'm praying. And isn't that beautiful, how the Father just answers you in that moment and saying lovingly, alone in my room, yes, this is from me. This is good for you. And in that moment, I just start enjoying it. And I just go for it. No pressure. Just like the gospel, no pressure gospel. So, I pray in a heavenly language. I receive a kiss from the Father, a loving, powerful, and decisive answer to my prayer. I mean, once that's just God, the way He answered my prayer right there. Yes, it's from me. Because it's just me and Him. It can't be anyone else there showing me that. The problem was, no one taught me in these things. So I went through a lot of tussle and struggle and back and forth because no one taught me. And this is where I just love Grace Life and what we do here, because we teach these things. We get trained in it. Shane wrote Rooted. So if you don't know what I'm talking about tonight, get rooted. Get rooted in the Word. Get the Rooted Discipleship Book. Work through those lessons. It's all in there. It is the purpose of it. Come join us for Make a Difference the next time. Come join us for Growth Track. We teach these things, and we get to know these things, and we get to learn the manual so we can go and use the gifts. And that is awesome. That is awesome. And that just saves you so much trouble and so much of the aches of trying to figure these things out. Discipleship was really God's idea. He wanted to teach you through people so that you can be the best you that you can be. And He wants you to show you how the things work of God. Okay, from there on in, I started to pray in tongues more and more. But the real fruitfulness in this area came to me through the teaching I received in praying and even singing in the Holy Spirit. Now, this morning I shared this as well, and I got sort of the same look. It is scriptural to sing in tongues, okay? I would recommend you start alone in your car when you're here for it. The first experience I had with it was Wendell Parr. He's one of the Bible school teachers. A big Texan guy. He speaks about steak and chocolate brownies more almost than what he speaks about God, but he loves God. And he taught on this. He taught on this principle of singing in tongues, and then he just went for it. So, I mean, that's just the boldness. Even if you speak praise and worship, and you just feel it like an overflow, just go for it. So with that, I wanted tonight quickly share with you four different types of tongues. Okay, wow. Can there be four? There is four. Four that I know of. Four different types of tongues. The first one, the tongues of men, human languages. So Acts 2, from verse 1, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each one of them." So that's the first baptism of the Holy Spirit. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So it's a spirit utterance. It's a tongue. It's another tongue. It's not a tongue that they know. And verse 5 says, "And they were all dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven." Now that's a meeting I want to be a part of. Every nation under heaven coming together, Holy Spirit falling in power, and everyone starting to speak in tongues. Now, verse 6 says, "Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language." Verse 7, they asked, "Are they not all who speak Galileans?" So the Galileans start speaking all the tongues of the world as soon as the Holy Spirit falls upon them. So they're speaking Portuguese, they're speaking Spanish, they're speaking French, they're speaking Tswana, Khoza, Zulu. They're speaking all the tongues of the world without going on a six-month or whatever language course like that, and they start ministering. This still happens today, where people get up in a foreign country and they start giving a word in tongues, and then someone says, "But how do you know our language?" And like, "I don't, but Holy Spirit does." And guess what? God has a message for you. So He'll use the Holy Spirit, He'll use that tongue to show that people that He loves them, that He's a gracious God. That is the first type of tongue. It is tongues that speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It is the tongues of men. The second type of tongue is the tongue of angels. It's a heavenly language. 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, "Though I speak with the tongues of men," the first one, "and of angels," the second tongue, "and have not charity or love, I am become a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal." So Paul writes and he says, I can speak in the tongues of men. I can speak foreign languages. I can speak Portuguese to the Portuguese. I can speak Zulu to the Zulus. Or I can speak tongues of angels, heavenly languages. And there's a purpose for that. And the purpose for that is it's communication with God. It's between you and God. And what is awesome about that, at the Tower of Babel, language as it was known there was broken. And it was broken down into different sections and different languages. So as the language was broken, that people cannot explain how they feel about God. Sometimes people say, I just don't have words. And guess what? It's true. Because your language is limited. Your human language is limited. You stand there and you're like, God is so good. He's so good. He's so good. Like, yeah, how good is he now, really? No, I don't have words. No, you don't. That's where praying in a heavenly language comes in handy. You can come in and just exalt God. And you sometimes you feel it. You're like, you're praising and worshiping. And you're like, these words are just not enough. So you just go over in your tongue and you just praise God and you make him big with the tongues of angels. A heavenly language. Direct communication between you and God. Acts 10:44. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all of them which heard the word. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard him speak with tongues and magnify God. So the function of that is to magnify God. Now, who would agree with me that we cannot make God bigger than he is? Okay? But the scripture says magnify God. You magnify God in your own heart, in your own view and opinion. You change how you see him. You're not making God bigger. God's as big as he's ever going to be. But you don't know how big he is. By praying in tongues, you're realizing how big God is. And you're just stirring it up in your mind. And you're showing your own body. You're showing your own body that, listen, there's something bigger than you. Because you can't understand this. You don't even know where this comes from. Because it bypasses your mind. And it goes straight from your spirit to your mouth. And you're magnifying God. You're making him big. Jude 1:20-21 says, but you, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. So we can build up ourselves in our most holy faith by praying in tongues. We're stirring this up. And again, you're bypassing your mind, so you're showing your body that, listen, this is from God. This is bigger than what you can think. Verse 21 says, keep yourselves in the love of God. By praying in tongues, you are continuously reminding, you're edifying, you're building up yourself in your most holy faith, and you're building up yourselves in the love of God. Because guess what? While you're praying in tongues, you're communicating straight with the Father, spirit to spirit. And what is the Father's message for you? I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. So there's a spirit to spirit connection. And all that your spirit receives is I love you. I love you. I love you. I like that. I don't know about you. But that is awesome time with God. That is without pressure. That is not bringing all your sins. That is not bringing everything that you did wrong. You can leave your trailer with everything you did wrong. You can, when you walk, just leave it here. We'll just throw it out the window. Because it's not from God. God doesn't want you to carry it. He wants you to know, I love you. I love you. I love you. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14:1. Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that you may prophesy. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. It's between you and God. So don't let people say, yeah, you're just blabbing. Let them blab. You know it's between you and God. You know there's a connection. For man, no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. So when you pray in a tongue, the word edify there is a big old English word for building up. You can build up yourself. So maybe if you had the Monday blues tomorrow, guess what? If you read the manual, you don't have an excuse. Because if you have the Spirit, and if you don't have him, we can sort you out afterwards. You can pray in tongues. You can build yourself up. If things don't go your way, you don't know what's going on, you can pray in the Spirit, and you're speaking, you're praying mysteries. You're praying things that you don't know about, yet you're praying into your own future, the future that you don't know about. And that is awesome power. You are praying in the mysteries of God. You're making God big. You're keeping yourself in the love of God. And you're building up your most holy faith. Wow. That's an awesome day. If you start a day like that, things are going to happen in your life. Not because you're so good, but because your focus is right. Because you're tuning into the things of God. You're building up and you're hearing more and more that God loves me. Okay, so that's there to build up ourselves. That's the second tongue. First tongue, tongues of men. Second tongue, tongues of angels. Third tongue, the unknown tongues for interpretation. So that's like prophecy. It's for building up the church. It's not just for you. It's for building up the church. So that's more for a public setting. And it's interpretation, not translation. That's very important. So sometimes people will say a long sentence or something in a tongue, and then the one that interprets will say, God loves me. And you're like, yeah, really? That's what he said. And it's like those movies, that sound over movies where the guy talks and talks and talks and talks, and then it says, I love you. And then the mouth goes on. That's fine, because it's not translation, it's interpretation. So it's a message, it's a spirit-to-spirit thing. And even human languages are like that. You would type in Google Translate this little phrase, and then what spits on the other side is like, and you're like, whoa. That is still translation. This is interpretation. So it is a spirit thing. Remember, human languages is limited. God's language isn't. It is for public meetings. And a tongue with an interpretation is the same function as a prophecy. It is a prophecy to build up the church. So if I pray in a tongue and one of you interpret, that must be to build up the church. Not to build up an individual only, to build up the church. So the prophecy is for the building up of the church. The church consists of people, so it might become personal as well. Okay, 1 Corinthians 14 from verse 5 says, I would that you all spake with tongues. Okay, that's the words of Paul. But rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesies than he that speaks with tongues, except ye interpret, that the church may receive edifying. Okay, God's heart is really for the church. God's heart is for the church to grow, to be built up, to be edified. Again, a big old English word to say building up, making you strong. So that's something that we're growing in and that we're looking towards. Verse 6 says, now, brethren, if I come unto you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you except I shall speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by doctrine? He says, if I just come, say Shane goes to Albania and he just speaks in tongues the whole time that he's there and he gets on the plane and he goes back. What's that going to do? Confuse them. But if he comes and he shares doctrine, he shares prophecy, he shares knowledge, he shares revelation, and maybe he prays in a tongue and one interprets, then there's a lot that happens. Then the church is being built up. And that is what this tongue is all about. This tongue is not just about showing the world that we pray in tongues. No, it is about specifics, specific messages on the heart of God for the church of God. Verse 9 says, likewise, you except you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how shall it be known what is spoken, for you shall speak into the air. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaks a barbarian, and he that speaks shall be a barbarian unto me. So he says, if two people speak to each other, and they don't understand what they are saying to each other, they're like two barbarians just yelping at each other. See, and that's not what church is about. So if we just, I pray in tongues, and then Jar comes up and he prays in tongues, and you all sit there like, what are you guys doing? But if I pray in a tongue and someone comes up and interprets, then there's power. Because then we can understand. We can judge it as well because the heart of God is love. So if you interpret is not, interpretation isn't love, then we maybe say, okay, next time you have an interpretation, just share it with Etienne first before you take the mic. But that's how this works. Verse 12 says, even so you, for as much as you are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Okay, Holy Spirit is not there to make you famous. It's there to make Jesus famous. It's there to build you up, yes, but so that you can overflow. Overflow into the love of God. Overflow the love of God into others. Overflow the love of God into the church. The heart of God is for his church to be built up. Spiritual gifts are to build up the church, not to make a single person famous. Wherefore, let him that speaks in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. This is why it doesn't make sense to people, and guess what? It shouldn't. The Bible says that your understanding is unfruitful. So if you pray in the spirit, it's your spirit going into your mouth. So you consist of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 3:23, I think. You consist of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Now, if you pray in the spirit, your spirit gives utterance to your mouth, and your ears hear. So it is spirit and body. Soul is not there. Now, if you pray for interpretation, the interpretation comes into your heart, into your soul, into your mind, and you speak it out into your body. Your ears hear that. So when you pray in the spirit, spirit and body, when you interpret that, spirit, soul, and body. Okay, that's pretty cool, I think. So that's how we can just enjoy all three parts of us with the Holy Spirit power. Praying in tongues involves, as I said, your spirit, your body, and if you interpret, it includes your soul as well. Verse 15, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with understanding also. I will sing with the spirit. See, I told you it's biblical. And it's awesome. you just pray in the Spirit and you start singing, making nice melodies. And even the singing can be interpreted. So don't be limited by that. I will sing with the Spirit and I will sing with understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room with the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what thou sayest? For thou verily gives thanks well, but the other is not edified. So it's, if you pray in the Spirit, if you sing in the Spirit in a public venue, you give thanks well. Yes, God understands, but you're not building up anyone else. And in that church that I attended, they was praying in tongues from the front. They were praying in tongues over the microphone. And I stood there like, what is this? First of all, no one taught me in that. No one had given me understanding and no one interpreted. So it was actually not scriptural. And that's what I wanted to show you tonight. Okay. Let's go. Verse 19. Yet in the church I'd rather speak five words with my understanding than by my voice. I might teach others also, and then 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet, for all that will they not hear me, says the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serves not for them that believe not, but for them that which believe. So tongues is a sign to them that believe not. And I believe that believe not is also them that don't believe in tongues. So if we come to a leadership meeting or in a public setting, sometimes we'll pray in tongues. And there's people there as they receive the baptism of the Spirit, and we'll encourage them to pray in tongues, and we'll just stand around them and start praying in tongues. And we're not going for interpretation, but we're showing them this is real. And we're taking the pressure off of an individual, and we're just enjoying God for what just happened, the miracle of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And most often than not, there's an overflow, and that person will start praying in tongues as well. And it's not for interpretation, but it's for that this is real. Everyone around me is doing it. They can't all be crazy. They're not all on drugs, but they can all be on the Holy Spirit, and that is awesome. Okay. If therefore the whole church be come together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there came in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? Wow, I like that scripture. That just summed up my whole first tongues experience for me. I was unlearned, I didn't believe in it, and I thought they were mad. And then I read this scripture years later, I'm like, I wasn't mad, they were mad. No, they weren't mad, I thought they were mad. Because they didn't do it. They didn't teach me. I didn't believe in it at that stage. Yet they still went for it. Okay. Verse 28. If there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Verse 32 says, and the spirit of the prophet are subjects to the prophet. Now we haven't had it yet, but there's churches where people come up and start screaming and dancing. And then you ask them, please go and sit. And they, no, I can't help it. I can't help it. The Holy Spirit, no, no, no. That's a different spirit. My Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet, meaning you are in control. Yes, you can submit, you can receive, you can let go, but you decide. Okay. If that spirit takes you where you don't want to go, it's not Holy Spirit. Or you just don't know what your power is. Verse 33 is also beautiful. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. So this is God for me. Back to my story. I was confused. What is this? How does this work? God is not the author of confusion, but God is the author of peace. And in my room alone that night, God just showed me peace in this. And just the way he answered me and gave me my gift was so peaceful. And then I just realized, okay, this is from my God, my dad that loves me. This brings peace to my heart. No longer confusion. The fourth type of tongue, the last one, tongues of intercession. This is quite cool. It's preparing for the battle and praying for others. Ephesians 6:10 to 18, from verse 10, it says, a final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That mighty power there, you can also find that word in Acts 1:8 when Jesus said, go and wait and you'll receive the power from on high and you'll be witnesses. That's the same word. It's Holy Spirit power. Then it goes about the full armor of God, and we know it, and we put it on. We never take it off, and tomorrow morning we put it on again. So we're getting layers and layers and layers of the armor of God. I'm just joking, but just think about that the next time you do it. When did you take it off? When you put it on again? But verse 12 says, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Then it goes on, the spirit of truth, the sword, all those things. From verse 16, I'll jump in there. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's usually where we stop. But that's not where Paul stopped. That's not where Ephesians 6 stopped. It says in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Yes, we need to pray for believers, but we also need to pray in the Spirit for believers. He says there in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers. Now, this is very important. Paul says it's good for us to train physically, but he says it's even better to train spiritually. Sometimes you go for a jog, and if you're like me, you're just down the road, and you're out of breath, and you're like, oh, I'm never going to make this. And what do? You persist. And I create your Twitter awesome. Who knows of the Twitter awesome? I like the Twitter awesome. Praying in the Spirit is exactly the same. You start praying in the Spirit, and you're like, now, Peter, what are you doing? You can be watching rugby. There's a bride to be had. You can go make food. If you be persistent, if you push through, you reach levels with God that takes you places, that changes the tongue. If you pray for people, and I've experienced this, again, like tonight, I'm only sharing what I've experienced myself. I've experienced this at least twice, where your tongue becomes like a war cry. It becomes a different tongue. It becomes a compassionate, which is anger and love, which is what Jesus operated in. And you're praying for people, and you're dealing with it on a spiritual level. And the next time you encounter that person, something is different, because you know, we've dealt with this. We've dealt with this in the Spirit. And now you can minister that love out of a place of, this has been dealt with. And what did Jesus say? It is finished. So now you can come and you can love people. It looks different, it feels different, it sounds different. Four types of tongues. The first one, tongues of men. The second one, tongues of angels. The third one, tongues for interpretation in a public setting. The fourth one, tongues of intercession. Okay, the baptism in the Holy Spirit is not as much an event as it is a dwelling place. So yes, you can maybe remember the day and the date that you received baptism in the Holy Spirit. If you can't and you don't know what I'm talking about, please come up afterwards. And we want to just show you and lead you in that. We can't baptize you in the Holy Spirit, but we can lead you to Jesus who can do it for you. It's not in a place, it's not a date so much, it is a dwelling place. Because John said about Jesus in John 1:32, then John testified, I saw the Holy Spirit descending like a dove from heaven and resting upon him. Verse 33, I didn't know he was the one, but when God sent me to baptize with water, he told me, the one on whom you see the Spirit descend and rest is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. See the Spirit descend and see the Spirit rest. So the Spirit finds rest in you. You are his resting place. That is pretty cool. He's not going anywhere. If I find a nice place to rest, I want to stay there. That's what the Holy Spirit does with you. You are now the temple of God, anointed with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Your body is a temple, and you can glorify God in your body and your spirit by praying in tongues. Why don't you stand with me? And we just go into a time of ministry, just a time of focusing on this. And maybe you're still a bit confused, but maybe you've learned something tonight. Maybe you've just learned something about the heart of the Father and what this tongues thing is all about. And as you close your eyes, I just want to read 1 Corinthians 6:20 as well. Again, it says, for you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Both your body and your spirit is God's. You've been bought with a price. You belong to the Father. You're in the family. Now, you can glorify God with your body, but you can also glorify him with your spirit. And praying in tongues is just a way of glorifying God. And I want to invite you tonight, don't let an inferior revelation rob you of a superior truth. Don't let an inferior revelation, just because you've maybe never heard of this before, rob you of a superior truth. I tell you my story. I tell you where I come from tonight. And I tell you I'm in a much better place. I'm in a much more powerful place. I'm empowered. I can build myself up in the most holy faith. I can keep myself in the love of God. I can deal with situations that is a challenge for me. You might, like I did, have had a bad, a mad, a scary encounter with praying in tongues. But I'm sure that you didn't give up kissing just because your first kiss might have been a complete flop. Why don't you give God another chance to fall on your neck and kiss you fervently? Why don't you give him a chance right now? Father, thank you for just the gift of Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gift of the love of the Father. Thank you, Father, for the gift of praying in tongues. Thank you that it's a gift for your children. If there's anyone here that you've never experienced or accepted Jesus, I want to invite you into the family. Why don't you come and be part of our family? Why don't you come and look into the eyes of the Father that loves you so much? No matter how you feel, no matter how bad you think your sins stink, how dirty you think you might be, the Father is your Father. Why don't you allow Him to be your Father? Why don't you just turn to Him, receive the payment for your sins, and let Him kiss you fervently? Let Him embrace you and dance with you. Let Him touch you. Let Him hold you. Let Him look you in the eyes and say, I love you. If you want to receive that right now, why don't you just lift your hand? Everyone's eyes are closed, so. If you want to receive that kiss, if you want to receive that Holy Spirit, just showing you how much God really loves you, I promise you, your life will never be the same again. Jesus said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they believed on him should receive. God wants you to receive it. I want you to receive it because my dad wants you to receive it. I really want this for you because I know what it did for me. It will lead you into all truth. The Spirit is a comforter. He's a helper. He's an ever-present help in a time of need. So, Father, thank you that as people just right now just open their arms to receive. If you're one of those, just pray in your heart and say, Jesus, baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you're doing a mighty work right now. As people are just receiving right now, the Bible says that if you ask, you receive. So there's nothing more to it. Now it's just for you to go and enjoy it. If you want to know more about it, just come and speak to us afterwards, and we can just give you a rooted study guide so you can know what this is all about. So you don't go into the world all confused, but that you go empowered, full of faith, building up yourselves in your most holy faith and keeping yourselves in the love of the Father.